The following message was recorded at our weekly worship service at Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. Visit us online at www.summit-christian.org to find out more about us.
Good morning. So, I would like to think that it goes without saying that we need to approach the Lord's table, approach communion with a repentant heart. However, I'm worried that it may not. So I wanted to touch on that a little bit this morning, the idea of repentance. In his 95 Theses, the first one that Luther wrote was, he didn't do everything. Our Lord and Master Jesus Christ has willed that the entire life of the believer be one of repentance. So I think that clearly extends beyond an idea that a lot of people have of repentance as sort of a one-time deal that maybe happens at conversion, and now you're repented. It's something, it's a part of our life, it's an integral part of our walk as Christians. So I'd like to share with you a little bit out of 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. I'm going to read it. You can follow along if you can get there quick enough. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I should point out, this is a little bit of a distillation of a sermon given by a guy named Matt Chandler, who's a pastor at a church in Texas. So I'm kind of taking his finer points because he's definitely a more gifted sermon writer than I am. The first thing I want to touch on is the idea of walking in the light. Basically, what that looks like is God, through his word, through his spirit in us, and through his church, is revealing to us the wickedness in our hearts and calling us to growth and obedience through repentance. So, when we know we're not seeking God, when we know we're not getting into the Word like we should be, we're not spending time in prayer like we should be, we're not living in obedience, walking in the light demands that we get on our knees, ask God to change our hearts, and seek accountability. God is shining a light, walking in the light, God is shining a light on or exposing our sins. The next thing I want to touch on is if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Like I've talked on before, we're not saved solely into a one-on-one relationship with God. We're saved into a community, into a church. And when we have hidden sin, it drives us apart from each other because we're afraid that our sin is going to be exposed. And not only that, but we discredit the love that other people have for us because we think, you know, they don't know how bad I am. I've got all this junk in my heart. They can't know that. If they did, there's no way they would like me. So these are the problems. These are the things that repentance brings about. Now, there's a couple of common potential traps, or one in particular, in the idea of repentance. And it can kind of be summarized in an idea called moralistic therapeutic deism. And this is actually a term that is sort of becoming more widely used. And it's the idea that is really the basis for a lot of really shallow, common, easy believism Christianity. And it's the idea that if we behave, if we do the right things, moralistic, God will do what we want him to do. This is not repentance. We cannot seek to manipulate God through our behavior. What gospel repentance looks like is this. I fall short. I hate that I continue falling short again and again. And so I look to the promise in the Lord that we see in 1 John 2, 1 through 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, and I would probably replace the word if with when. When anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation basically means that what Christ has done has removed our sin from us and paid for it. It's sort of like when you're with your kids in the grocery store and your kid is thinking he's being super sly, pulls some gum off the counter or off the shelf. What you as the parent do is you take that gum and you pay for it. You cover over the sin of your child, and that's what Jesus has done for us on the cross. So we look to that, we lean on the joy we have in Christ, because we know that through him there is no condemnation for us. So now our hope is not in our ability to not sin. We can come to the cross of Christ, admit that we have failed, and ask for mercy and help. And there is propitiation. My sin has been taken from me and paid for at the cross, and it allows me to continue to walk in righteousness. So now I don't have to hide from him or from my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I can press further into him, turn my eyes upon him, and grow in my relationship with him and in obedience. 1 John 1, 6. The alternative to walking in the light is walking in the darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So, if you're coming to church, if you're talking to people about going to church, it's a really easy thing to say, what did you do this weekend? Oh, I went to church. Haha, they know I'm a Christian. I've done my deal. If you're putting on the label of Christian and do not have a repentant heart, you're a liar, and God is not fooled. It's a deadly, deadly game that you're playing if you think that you can trick God just because you're able to trick the people around you, or maybe even trick yourself. God wants all of our hearts, the entire thing, every dark, evil corner. And through repentance and obedience, he will continue to shed his light on those corners and claim them for his own. And that's what the life of repentance looks like. That's what we need to, that's how we need to set ourselves in order to come to the communion table and honor and remember what Jesus did for us. And that's what we're going to do now.
Thank you for listening to this message from Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. You can visit us online at www.summit-christian.org or contact us at 253-531-1672.